I thought Brother Pascoe was going to preach my message during his prayer this morning. He talked about lifting him up and Nicodemus and this and that. But that's all right. It helps me know either he's right or I'm right, or we might be right. So I thank the Lord for that. But anyway, John chapter number 3, if you found your place and are able, we'll read verses 14 through 18. John chapter number 3, verses 14 through 18. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Right.
For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
Lord, I thank You for the day. Lord, I thank You for what we've heard this morning in Sunday school. And Lord, the songs that have sung, Lord, I thank You for even just being able to be out this morning. Lord, I don't take that lightly, and I'm glad You let others come out this morning. And I pray that You'll bless them, Lord, for coming out and making the effort. I know sometimes it's not easy, but Lord, the Bible says to strive, and that's what we got to do. So I pray, Lord, that You'll bless us this morning, that You'd speak to hearts and touch hearts, Lord. Lord, just change somebody today. I pray that Your Holy Spirit will move amongst the people this morning. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So, Lord, would you come down this morning and touch somebody? Lord, I'd love to see You work on somebody this morning. And so I pray that You'll do that. I pray that You'll help me this morning as I preach. Lord, help me to, Lord, be sensitive. Lord, I'm nothing, but Lord, You're everything. And so, Lord, I just pray that You'll help me, Lord, convey what You I believe You give to me, and Lord, just help me to say it in a way to where, Lord, it makes sense, Lord, to where people can grasp it, and then, Lord, You do the rest, that You'll fork it or do whatever to touch somebody's heart and life, and Lord, just help us. We need You. Lord, I don't want to say anything that's out of the way that'll hurt anybody, so Lord, help me to hold that back, and Lord, just help me to rightly divide the Word this morning. I want to be sensitive to whatever You have for us to do this morning. I pray most of all, Lord, this morning that You would just get praise and that You would get honor and that You would get all glory out of everything that's said and done. And we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated this morning. This morning, as I said, a familiar verse, a section, a passage here, and probably most well-known chapters in the Bible, and it probably contains the most well-known verse in the Bible. Probably one of the first memory verses that all the kids learn, and John 3:16, and I hope you know it, but the chapter here begins with a conversation. I don't know if it's a meeting, an interview. People call it different things, but a man named Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night, and he had some questions for Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with having questions. In fact, it's good to ask questions. If you ask questions for the wrong reason, the right motive, the right reason, it's a good thing. Nicodemus, I don't believe he was trying to trip Jesus up here. I don't believe he was trying to, because he came to him by night. And he came to him by night maybe because he wanted Jesus' full attention. You know, a lot of times during the day while Jesus was traveling, people would come up and they would interrupt, just like when he was going to Jairus' daughter. The woman with the issue of blood came up and he dealt with her, and then he continued on his way. So maybe he came by night because he wanted Jesus' full attention. Maybe he came at night because he was a Pharisee.
Yes, sir.
The word Pharisee means a separated one. Those that were, they tried to keep every jot and tittle of the law. They liked to make a show of what they did. They had a holier-than-thou attitude. And it may be that he came at night because he didn't want all of his buddies to see him talking to Jesus. actually wanting to know some answers. Maybe he thought it would hurt his credibility, maybe, amongst his other people. It says he was a ruler of the Jews. He was one of the Sanhedrin. He was way up there. And so he came by night just to talk to Jesus. He really wanted to know some things. And that just goes to show you that just because you have religion doesn't mean that you have a relationship. Or just because you have religion doesn't mean that you have understanding. Nicodemus, he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He had religion. He was more religious than 99.9% of the people in churches today. Yet he didn't understand. He didn't understand. The Lord hadn't been revealed to him yet. He tried. I believe he tried, and he did everything he could. And it's just like the last thing. He's like, I'm just going to go talk to him. He's got the words of life. I'm just going to go at night. I'm going to go talk to him, so I've got his full attention. And so Nicodemus went to talk to him. And we can see by Nicodemus's questions that he didn't have understanding. He didn't have the understanding that we needed. His questions were about being born again and the new birth. In verse number 4, he asked Jesus, he said, how can one be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? He just that word born again, he just didn't understand. Now the word born again, that word again means from above, being born from above. But he didn't understand that. He thought it meant actually being a babe again. And so he had some questions for the Lord. And the Lord wasn't smart to him. He didn't say, well, you don't understand that. Get out of here. No, Jesus was, he took time with him. He loved him. He was merciful to him. He's that same way with us. There's things that I don't understand. And I've been here for 30-something years, and there's still things that I don't understand. Yet he's not mad at me about it. He still teaches. He still gives and gives and gives. And that was the way Nicodemus was. He just wanted to know. But in the midst of this conversation, interview, whatever you want to call it, Jesus interjects verses 14 and 15 here to him. And he says, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, it doesn't say anywhere here that Nicodemus didn't know about the Moses lifting up. I believe he knew all about it. These people here, they had a grasp of the Old Testament that we don't have. We've got people today that they'll just stumble into church for the first time. And they'll just tell them about Jesus, and they say a prayer, and they'll sign them up and baptize them and put them on the church roll. They don't have a clue. They don't have an understanding. But this man here, Nicodemus, he knew all about it. Jesus didn't have to say, well, Nicodemus, there was a man named Moses. And Moses, for the first 40 years of his life, was in Egypt. And then the next 40 years, he spent back. He didn't have to go through all that. He knew all about it. And so he had a head start on a lot of people here in the United States today. You just can't. A lot of these missionaries, they think they can just go up and just tell somebody about Jesus, and boom, that ain't the way it goes. You got to have understanding. And Nicodemus, he didn't yet have that understanding. John 6:45 says this. It says, every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned, that word learned means to understand, hath learned of the Father cometh to me.
Right.
Now, it doesn't say that you come to me and get saved and then you'll learn about me.
Right.
It says, he that hath heard and hath learned cometh unto me. See, we got the wrong order today in churches today. You heard and learn and then you come. And so, now, how much understanding, you say? Enough. I don't know. It could be different for everybody. It's just got to be enough. But I think it's more than many people that are making false professions around the world today. A lot more than that.
Right.
But you got to have enough understanding. So as we look at this, like I said, when he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," he knew all about it.
Sure.
And I hope most of us here know the story. But if you don't, we're going to talk about it. But even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Yeah.
And so when we look at that, I want to look at the lifting up of the serpent in the wilderness and entitle the message "Snake Bit."
Yep.
Snake Bit. Now Sunday night, Dylan and Dalton, or I don't think they even know about it, but Billy, JC didn't even know about it, but Billy was telling us about a story where the boys were out frog gigging and they come up on this big cottonmouth or whatever. Anaconda, whatever that thing was up there, opened up its mouth like this, and they had a frog gig. And there's two or three, four of them maybe, I don't know. But anyway, they started stabbing it, and they killed it. And I don't know, but I got to think about that all week. I don't like snakes. I don't like them at all. If you could have one that's had its head chopped off, and I'll come the next day, and I'll walk around it. I don't like snakes. They remind me of the devil, and they remind me of just evil, pure evil, and I don't like them. But snake bit, that's what happened here in Numbers chapter number 21. But it says, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and before I get to that, John 5:39 says this. It says, "Search the Scriptures," which at this time all they had was the Old Testament Scriptures.
Right.
They weren't looking at the book of John all they had was the Old Testament. It says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me."
Right.
The Old Testament Scriptures testified of Jesus.
Sure.
And I believe this is one of the accounts right here. But anyway, Luke 24, verse number 27, it says this, when on the road to Emmaus, and he says this, it says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself."
That's right.
Moses never said the word Jesus, but the types and things in the Old Testament were pointing to a coming Messiah. And in verse number 44 in the same chapter, it says this. It says, verse 44, it says, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me."
Right.
Concerning me. So, in John 3:14, when he said, "And even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," it was to help the children of Israel, but it was also pointing to a coming Messiah. Concerning me is what Jesus said. All those things that Moses wrote about concerning me. That brazen serpent in the wilderness was pointing to Jesus.
Right.
And we're going to look at that. I've only got three things to look at this morning. First of all, when we look at the story of as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, I want to look first of all at the misery of the sinners expressed. They were miserable. And we're going to look at that. The misery of the sinners expressed. Then I want to look at the mercy of the Savior was expounded to all. The mercy of the Savior. And then thirdly, I want to look at the method of salvation exhibited. It was all for a reason. Yes, it healed some, but it had a greater purpose looking forward to the coming Messiah. So, as we look at those, we're going to look at those three things. Now, as I said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, in Numbers chapter number 21, now this is the story of this, and when you read this, don't let anybody tell you that it's a fairy tale. This literally happened. This is not just a made-up fairy tale. Tell a kid at night before he goes. This actually happened. And so, Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9, it says this. It says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Yes. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And now that's the story. But the first thing we want to look at is the misery of the sinner is expressed here. The misery. It says in verse number 4 that they were much discouraged because of the way. Now, Brother Tim, I read it this morning in the chapter before. They had come, the children of Israel, in their travels, they had come to the land of Edom. And all they had to do was just go right across Edom. But Moses sent messengers to the king of Edom and said, Hey, do you care if we go across your land? We'll take the king's highway and we won't drink any of your water. We won't make any mess. If we do, I'll pay you back. He said, No. He said, And if you do, we're going to send an army down there to take y'all out. And so because of that, they had to take the long way around. And it says here in verse number 4 that the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The way they had to go was through desert, harsh conditions. And they were discouraged. That word discouraged there, it does mean to be downtrodden. It means to have your spirit taken out of you. But also it means to shorten. Your tempers be shortened. They were impatient. They wanted it now. And they had to take the long way around. And because of that, it says verse number 5, and the people spake against God.
Sure did.
And Moses.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's one thing to speak against the preacher, but it's another thing just to skip it and go straight to God. And if you talk about the preacher, you're talking about God too. But they pointed their finger at God. And what did they say? They said, first thing they said is, Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Basically what they were saying was, God, you can't take care of us. You brought us out. You just wanted us to die out here. You're just making an example out of us so everybody will see that we followed you, but you couldn't bring us through.
Right.
They were basically saying, God, you can't take care of me. The next thing they said is, we don't have any bread. Now, that wasn't true, because there at the end of the verse it says, For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And then it says, And our soul loatheth this light bread.
Yes.
They said they didn't have any, but then they went on 10 seconds later and said, We loatheth this light bread.
Mm-hmm.
Loatheth means that they detested it.
Right.
The word light there, light bread, means worthless. They said, Lord, we don't even have any bread. Oh yeah, we got this bread, but it's worthless. We don't like it. We want something else. Basically what they're saying is, God, you don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want this. We want something else. They're speaking against God, speaking against Moses. And now I looked it up. I when I preached something about this last time, so I looked it up, and they say the amount of people that were alive at this time, that it would take 240 semi-loads a day to feed the children of Israel. 240 semis a day. Now that means on the day before the Sabbath, 480.
That's right.
Because they had to gather enough for the next day also. And they want to say that the Lord wasn't taking care of them? 240 semi-loads per day. The next thing they said is, we don't have any water. Brother Tim read it this morning, and there in verse number 11, it says, And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. But they said they didn't have any water. They had enough water, and it says that their beasts drank also. Even all their livestock, they had enough left over just to go ahead and let them drink too. They were saying they didn't have anything. But you know, sometimes we're the same way.
That's exactly right.
If we're not careful, we kindly mope around and say, I don't have nothing. The Lord hadn't done nothing for me.
Oh,
I mean, look at that person over there. They're saved. They've got everything they want. The Lord ain't done nothing for me. You know what? Naomi thought the same thing in the book of Ruth. Naomi, they came across a famine. There was a famine in the land. In the house of bread, there was a famine.
Right.
They went over to Moab. And she went over there. She lost her husband, Elimelech, lost Mahlon and Chilion. And then she came back. And they said, is that Naomi that was gone 10 years ago? And she said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Basically, what she's saying is I left, I thought I was empty. I didn't think I had anything. But I left, and when I come back, I realized that I had a lot more than I thought I had.
That's right.
Hey, if you really do some soul searching, you've got a lot more than what you think you have.
That's right.
The Lord let you wake up this morning.
Right.
He let you breathe. He let your heart pump. Hey, He's been good to us. I ain't missed a meal this week.
Yeah.
In fact, I probably ate more than three a day. But anyway, we're all the same way. The Lord's been good to us.
Yes.
And for us to point our finger at God and say, God, you don't understand. Why are you doing this to me? It's speaking against God. It's speaking against God. And because of that, verse number 6 says that the Lord sent fiery serpents.
Right.
Fiery serpents. Snake bit. Fiery serpents. Now the word fiery there means that it actually, when they got bit, it burnt. It was painful. Now, I ain't never been snake bit. I'm scared to death. I mean, I don't even want to get close enough for one of them to lunge at me. So I don't know what it feels like to get bit. And don't tell me, because that'll make it worse. But it says here that these fiery serpents, when they bit, it was like a burning sensation went up your arm. And I looked up a viper. And a viper, basically what it does when it bites you, it injects the poison, the venom into your bloodstream. And the blood carries it all around. And you start getting sore. You start getting fever. You start getting nauseated. Your stomach starts to cramp. And after a period of time, you start bleeding out of your nose because that venom is breaking down all your blood vessels. And you start bleeding out of the eyes. And then you start bleeding internally and you die. That sounds like misery to get snake bit like that and to die. That's exactly what happened to them. The Lord, because of their unthankfulness and because of their ungratefulness and because of their backbiting and talking against God, He said, all right, I'll show you how good you've really got it, and I'll send you some trials that'll kill you. And it says, much of the people died. Much of the people died. So it was miserable. That's a horrible to be able to have to be bit like that and to have to hurt like that and go through, have tainted blood like that. But you know what? That's just like sin. That's just like sin. That's what sin does. When I was going to the hospital there a couple times to visit Elena and of course we've been in and out of hospitals and stuff, and I just look around at people when I guess I'm a people watcher, but when I go somewhere, I kind of look around and want to know what circumstances are. And I tell you what, when you go into a hospital,
right,
you see some people in some bad shape. Mm-hmm. And I was going through the hospital, going up to the ICU or whatever that floor was she was at, and all around you see people that have all kinds of infirmities and sicknesses and diseases. And one thing that always comes to my mind is that's because of sin. Ultimately, that's because of sin. And sin, of course, the origin of sin is in Genesis 3. Oddly enough, a serpent came to Eve and beguiled her and has said, had God really said that? And tried to twist and arrest the words. And instead of saying, you need to talk to my husband, or I don't need to be talking to you, she took of it and she ate.
Yeah.
And it says that Adam was not deceived. He ate of it too. And that sent all of humanity. It cast us all into the fall. And ever since then, every one of us has got tainted blood. It ain't got venom in it. It's worse than that. It's got sin. It's got sin in it. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." Now we were all cast down. We were sinners by nature, but don't blame Adam, because we're sinners also by choice. Every time we sin, we do it on purpose. And so the origin of sin, and I think of the outcome of sin, being snake bit. The outcome of sin is that people die. People died. Ezekiel 18:4 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." James 1:15 says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Bringeth forth death. The outcome of sin is death. Now it's physical death. As in Genesis 5, which I've always heard that called the graveyard chapter, every one of them says so-and-so lived so many years, sons and daughters, and he died. So-and-so, and he died. So-and-so, and he died. Until you get down to Enoch. And then after that, it picks back up. And he died. And he died. Death. Because of sin. Snake bitten. Sin. Physical death. But also spiritual death. Spiritual death. Romans 5:12, which is the verse I just read the first of, but the entirety of it says this. It says, "For wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The pastor mentioned it this morning in his tidbit. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. All have sinned. There's not anybody that can say, "Oh, I ain't never done that. I ain't never sinned." We're all in that same boat. Spiritual death. Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Spiritual death and physical death. Snake bitten. All of us have been snake bitten. Some of us know it, some of us don't. But the people were snake bitten. Their blood had been tainted. It was a bad situation. As I said, they were discouraged because of the way. They were already impatient. They were already they were short tempered, and then all these fiery serpents come out everywhere you look. Fiery serpents biting them, and it said much people died. We see the misery of the sinner expressed. They were snake bitten. But secondly, we looked at the mercy of the Savior expounded. He made a way, as He always does. He made a way of escape for those that would obey and come God's way. He made a way for them. His mercy. He didn't have to. He could have said, y'all want to point your finger and talk about me, how I don't know what I'm doing? How about I just send you all these fiery serpents and just let them kill every one of you?" No, He didn't. He said, "I'll have mercy on you. Even though you've done me wrong, even though you said some things about me, I'll make a way of escape." And so we see that. And first of all, the picture of the serpent. The Lord divinely ordained the brazen serpent. Not Moses. Moses didn't come up with the idea. The Lord told Moses, "Set you up a brazen serpent that that all the people can be healed." Likewise, God the Father looked down the corridors of time and said, "There's going to be a need of a Savior. I'm going to send my Son to die for all those that have pointed their fingers at me and said things about me and are my enemies. I'm gonna send a Savior." Jeremiah 31:3. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. He said, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love."
Amen.
That means He looked down the corridors of time and saw your face, and said, "I'm gonna make a way for them. I'm gonna make a way." Before there was even a sin, there was a Savior.
Yep.
It was determined that there was going to be a need for a Savior. because he knows our frame. He knows we are but dust. He knows it. Another thing I see in this picture is that the thing that actually caused death was the thing that actually caused death was used to save lives. You say, well, what's that mean? Well, the fiery serpents were biting people and they were dying. The Lord told Moses, make you a brazen serpent. Put him up on a pole. Hey, sin is what sends people to hell. Sin. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He used a serpent to save those from serpents. And he used the substitutionary work of Christ on the cross as sin to save us from sin. The thing that caused death was actually used to save us. And it's the same way. I think about Romans 8, verse number 3. It says this, it says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He sent Him in the likeness of sinful flesh. I think about just as that serpent was made, in order to make that, I mean, you just don't find one on the side of the road. You've got to make it. You take a big piece of brass and you've got to beat that. You've got to heat that thing up and you've got to beat it and beat it and beat it to form a serpent. That's exactly what Christ went through for us. They beat him and beat him and beat him and whipped him and mocked him and spit on him until they lifted him up. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Not only the picture of the serpent, but the placement of it. The placement of it. The Lord didn't tell Moses to put it in a hiding place where nobody could see it. He said, no, you lift it up. You lift it up so that everybody can see it, so that there's no excuse for somebody says, I couldn't see it. You hid it from me. No, Romans 1 says that it's plainly seen, so that they are without excuse. When those people died, their family couldn't say, Moses, you hid that. No, it was clearly seen. It was clearly seen. And it, just as John 3:14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was the same way.
Yeah.
On a hill called Calvary, outside of Jerusalem. It wasn't nothing done in a valley, so you couldn't see it. No, they say, I've never been there, but they say that you can see up on that hill from a pretty good ways away.
Yeah.
It was clearly seen, lifted up, so that everybody could see it. I think it's Colossians says that he made a show of them openly. Everybody saw it, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. He is lifted up now, even now. Isaiah 6:1 says, when Isaiah got a view of him, he said he was exalted. He was high and lifted up.
Right.
He's lifted up now. John 12:32 says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And so he was lifted up. But also, we're still to lift him up today.
Sure.
We're still to lift him up today. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And then two verses later, in verse number 23, Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified. He says, we're not preaching with a bunch of signs and wonders. He said, we'll preach Christ crucified. Basically, lifting Him up. We're going to lift up Christ and Him crucified. So we see the misery of the sinner expressed. They were snake bitten. It was painful. The mercy The Savior could have just let them die, but no, He made a way. He made a way for them. But lastly, we see not only the misery and the mercy, but we see the method of salvation exhibited. I always want to bring it back to the main thing, salvation.
Yeah.
It's the main thing, the method of salvation exhibited. Now, John 3:15 uses the word, "he that believeth." And in Numbers 21:8 uses the word, "looketh." Now, if you hear this, any other churches or anything, they'll say, "Well, all the people had to do was just look, and they were healed." But that's not the meaning behind that. You can't. There's more involved in that. First of all, it says that. Well, on a side note here, it says when I read through this, it wasn't just to look at the pole, and it wasn't just to look at the cross.
Right.
A lot of people today are worshiping the cross. They're worshiping a thing around your neck, or they're worshiping a thing on a hospital wall, a cross. But no, he says, you look at the serpent, what's on the cross. And then he said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. A lot of people today are worshiping the wrong thing. It's almost a form of idolatry. They're worshiping the cross and not the person of the cross. So it was more than just a look. It's more than just a one-time believing. Both words in the Old Testament, the word looketh, in the New Testament, the word believeth, are continual action verbs. That E-T-H means that you don't just glance, "All right, I'm better." No, it means you really take a look and a gaze at that cross with some other things, but it basically means that I'll believe today, I'll be believing tomorrow, and I'll be believing 50, 60, 70 years from now. It's a belief that never stops. Not just a belief or not just faith. It's the saving faith. Saving faith. It's not just a simple, "Well, I think this pew will hold me up." It's more than that kind of faith. It's a saving faith.
Right.
And you can't work that up.
That's right.
You can't. But it's more than just a look, and it's more than just a belief. People will say, "I just come and believe." But it's more than that.
Yeah.
It's a lot more than that. John 16:8 says this. It says, "When He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And I've said it several times. It doesn't say sin or righteousness or judgment. And it doesn't. The next verse doesn't say, or two out of three ain't bad. It says sin, righteousness, and judgment.
That's right.
All three. All three. Now I gotta believe that when them people got bit, they were reproved of sin. Snake bit. Sin, venom running through their veins, sin, then righteousness. They did it because they had pointed their finger at God, said, "God, you don't know what you're doing. We don't have any bread.
Right.
We don't have any water." And whenever they looked at that, they had to know that, hey, I've been bit because I didn't follow Him like I needed to.
That's right. That's right.
And I need to follow Him. Lord, if you don't give me any water, if you don't give me any bread, if you want to take me around the country of Edom five more times, Lord, I'll follow you.
Yeah.
Lord, I'll do whatever you want to. Just Lord, I just need you. I need you to heal me, Lord. And so sin, righteousness, and then judgment.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, brass is a sign of judgment. In the tabernacle, they had what they call a brazen altar. And that was that's where you went and you done your sacrifices to push away the judgment for another year. Judgment. You get snake bit, sin, righteousness. Lord, I'm sorry for what I said about you. But Lord, I'll follow you. I'll do whatever you tell me to. And judgment, looking at that brazen serpent saying, I deserve exactly what I'm getting. For what I've done against you, for what I've said, I deserve everything I'm getting. It wasn't just a, "All right, I'm saved now. I'm healed now." No, it was more than that.
Right.
If it would have been just a look, these much people wouldn't have died. It says that much people died. And he lifted that serpent up in a place where everybody could see it. If it was just a glance, okay.
Right.
It was more than that. It's a type. And the type has to line up with the rest of the Scriptures. It was a look knowing that you had to be reproved of sin, snake bit, of righteousness. Lord, I'll follow you. There's nothing good in me. I don't know the way. But Lord, I'll follow you. Lordship, I'll do whatever you tell me to. And then judgment. I deserve exactly what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Lord, I deserve to die. I deserve to die for what I've said about you. Brazen, brass, a sign of judgment. Well, they deserved exactly what they were getting. Some didn't follow. It said much people died. It's the same way today. Some people won't come God's way.
Right.
They think they know better than God. Well, God, you said I have to do this and that, but I don't think that's really necessary. You'll die. Just like the children of Israel. They died. Many of them died. So the looking or the beholding or the believing resulted in healing. For those that did it correctly, it resulted in healing. And the healing was, first of all, it was individual. The mom couldn't go out there and believe for the son and the daughter. It's the same way today.
That's right.
If you're trying to ride your parents or your grandparents or your great-great-grandparents' coattails to heaven, it ain't going to work. When you stand before the judgment of God, when you stand before Him, you're going to be there by yourself.
That's right.
You won't be able to say, where's Daddy? Daddy could tell the Lord about how I got saved. No. It's individual.
That's right.
It's individual. And you know, the bad thing about it is sometimes you look around and you want it more than that person does themselves.
That's right.
That's one of the hardest things about standing up here is that I look around and I see people that's not here. And I want it for them more than they do.
That's right.
And I'm thinking, man, don't you see what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't.
Yeah.
Sure. And it hurts.
Sure does.
To want it more for them than they actually do themselves.
That's true.
But it's individual.
Yeah.
I can't do it for you. Your mama can't do it for you. Your daddy can't do it for you. When you stand before the Lord, you'll be by yourself. It's individual. The healing was individual. The healing was instantaneous. It right then. It wasn't a progress, but the actual, it was instantaneous. But in order to have those three things work, it might have took some time. How long? I don't know. Until it's all completely worked in you. All three.
That's right.
And I'm not saying it's got to be a long time, but there is a book called Pilgrim's Progress.
That's right. Yeah.
Pilgrim's Progress. Now, when that bird rolled off a Christian's back, it was instantaneous.
Yeah.
But he just didn't take one step and get from the city of destruction to the foot of the cross.
No, sir.
It took some time. He had to go through some things. How long? I don't know. I don't think it says. Does it say? How long? 12 years? My goodness.
Yeah.
Why does it take so long? Why didn't that boy just say a prayer? 12 years? Pilgrim's Progress. It takes time. How much? I don't know. For some, it could be very, very short. Some people could be very, very long. So it's not a progress in the healing or the burden rolling off your back like Christian. It was instantaneous.
Yes.
But it could take some time for you to get to that point. But the healing was instantaneous. It was instantaneous. Next thing was, it was not only individual, it was not only instantaneous, but it was invaluable.
Mm.
No doubt there was people laying over dead everywhere. And people that got healed, they looked around and they said, that could have been me. Well, I'm glad. I'm a debtor.
That's right.
I'm a debtor. I should be laying in that right there dead.
That's right.
I don't know why, but I ended up looking the right way, and I ended up getting healed, and I don't know why he chose me and not that one right there, but I'm going to do my best to tell everybody else how to do it so they can be just like me. You say, well, what would you take for it? Oh, they wouldn't take nothing for it. It's invaluable. The Lord said, what should it profit a man if he gained the whole world but lose his own soul? The value of a soul, you can't measure that. It's invaluable. There's not enough money. Not enough. Invaluable. At the end of the day, they'd say it's worth it all. No matter, I don't know what I ended up paying, what the price that it paid, family, friends, monetarily, I don't know what it cost. But it's worth it all. And if I had to do it again, I'd do it again. Invaluable. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to get across that all of us have been snake bit.
That's right.
Some are sicker than others. That snake bit, that snake bite is tainted blood.
Yes.
And we're all snake bit, but we're sicker than you think.
Mm-hmm.
We're sicker than you think. Not everybody goes around with pain and cramping. Everybody shows their sinfulness different. But we're all snake bit. We're all snake bit. And so we're sicker than you think. But don't let some snake oil salesman come to you and try to sell you a bill of goods.
That's right.
Now, I don't know where that saying come from. I don't know, but I always heard my grandpa always said, you better watch out for that snake oil salesman. That let me know that, hey, something about him ain't right. If he'll try to get you to do something that ain't right. And there's people all over the nation today, preachers that'll try to pluck you green.
Yep.
Before the Lord's work, the complete work, they'll try to say everything's all right. They'll try to prop you up doing something, but don't let some snake oil salesman do that to you. You come too far, turn back. You come too far not to get the real thing. So don't let them sell you a bill of goods. There's only one way, and that way is by work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
To reprove you, fully reprove you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment.
Amen.
Jesus told Nicodemus, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Yes.
And he ended up saying there in the next verse, they said that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now this was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Now Nicodemus didn't get in that day.
No.
He walked away. But he did some good things. He asked some questions and got some answers. But we do know that eventually Nicodemus did get in. He did get in. In John 19:38-39, it says, when Joseph of Arimathea went to claim the body of Jesus, the next verse says that also came Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night.
Yeah.
Oh, Nicodemus, was it worth it?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, it was worth every bit of it. Yeah, it was worth every bit. It was invaluable. I was snake bitten and I didn't even know it. I went to Jesus and talked to Him and He told me some things and they had to stew on me and they had to work on me. But and it might have been when Jesus was lifted up, it might have been that's what got Nicodemus.
That's right. Exactly right.
It could have been that he went those 2.5-3 years
uh-huh.
seeking, struggling, in misery. But when he saw Jesus lifted up, he's like, I remember that night on that housetop. He told me, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's exactly what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And boom,
Amen.
Something happened in him. And he's a new man. Changed. A new creature.
That's right.
He looked to Jesus. Nicodemus got in. So he realized he was a sinner. He realized he was snake bit. And he looked to Jesus with saving faith. What about us today? Did you know your snake bit? Are you sick? Do you realize that your blood's tainted? Do you realize that there's no way of escape without looking to Him? And it's not just a glance. It's a work of the Spirit.
That's right.
And I can't do it. But you need to get honest and say, yep, I'm snake bit. Lord, help me. I'm snake bit. I can't do it on my own. I'm sick. My blood's tainted. Lord, help me. That would be a good first step. Just getting honest.
Yes.
Just honest. Snake bit. Lord, help us. Lord, I thank You for the day. Lord, I thank You for Your blessings. Lord, Lord, as I look at Your mercy to those children of Israel, Lord, You were merciful to them. Lord, they spoke against You, You said in the Bible. And they spoke against Moses. They basically pointed their finger at You and said, "You don't know what You're doing and You don't take care of us." And Lord, I don't want to be that way. I don't ever want to get in that attitude to where I think I know what's best. And that I just don't want to do that. But Lord, even in all that, Lord, You were merciful. And You told Moses to set up that brazen serpent and to set it up high so everybody that had an opportunity, not all of them came, but they couldn't ever say they didn't have an opportunity because Moses set it up high. And Lord, I don't want to be one of these days that Lord says you had an opportunity, but you didn't come. And so Lord, help us all to, Lord, just to do what we got to do. Do whatever, Lord, You say. Lord, work that work of the reproval and all of Lord's sin, righteousness, and judgment. Complete all three. And Lord, help us not to fight. Help us not to, Lord, get stiff-necked and rebellious. And Lord, help us just to submit, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that You would do that work here at New Hope Baptist Church. And Lord, whether it's, you know, before the meeting or during the meeting, Lord, I don't know when it is, Lord, but I'm expecting You to do it. Lord, I'm encouraged, Lord, that You're going to do it. And so, Lord, just help us to continue and stay in Your way. And Lord, just follow Your command the best we know how. And Lord, that's feeble. And Lord, we're just flesh. Lord, we're frail. And Lord, but You understand that. So, Lord, just help us the best we know how to follow after You. And then, Lord, send the latter rain.
Yes.
Lord, we're looking for it. Lord, we need it. Lord, we're sicker than we think. Help us, Lord, to realize it. Lord, may it be a reality to us. And then, Lord, move in and save folk in the days to come. And we'll thank You for it. Go with us now throughout the remainder of the day. Be with us again tonight. Lord, bring us back safely. And Lord, by the will of God, Lord, just bring us back and help us to have a good service again tonight. Lord, I'll thank You for it. Lord, just go with us now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.